It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's being called one of the greatest games in Pittsburgh Steelers history. Their come-from-behind 18-16 playoff victory over the arch-rival Cincinnati Bengals Saturday night that had people not just in Pittsburgh but all over the country glued to their television sets. It was filled with thrilling hold-your-breath moments, but there were plenty of ugly ones in the game provided by a few players, including Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict, who knocked the Steelers' two biggest offensive stars, Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, out of the game. For that action, among others this season, Burfict has been suspended by the NFL for the first three games of next season. There could be more suspensions to come, including, as is being speculated, for Steelers assistant coach Joey Porter. In the wake of the release of the movie Concussion, is this the image that the NFL wants to project? I'm joined now by phone from State College, PA, by John Affleck. He is night chair in sports journalism and society and the director of the John Curley Center for Sports Journalism at Penn State. Good day, John.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
So what do you think? Was the Steelers-Bengals game good for the NFL, or did it do more harm than good to the league and its image?
Oh, I thought it was, I'm dating myself, Paul, but I thought it was about as good for the league as the 75 Flyers were for the NHL. it was ugly in the worst way.
Well, the movie Concussion I mentioned, it seems to be, what people are wondering about is whether this movie is resonating with anyone associated with the NFL.
I don't think so. I think having said that the game was pretty brutal, there were a bunch of incidents in addition to the ones you cited, and then in the end, because of the penalties against the Bengals, in a sense, the referees took over the game, which is also something fans don't like. But will it have long-term implications? I'm skeptical about that. I think that the most likely scenario is there'll be a stern talking to the two teams before they meet again next season. But I think what you've seen from the league itself is that they don't really act unless they're forced to act. In terms of concussions, we can talk about the 2009 congressional hearing that was a watershed moment in that situation in terms of the NFL acknowledging the damage that concussions do over the long term. On domestic violence, there was the Ray Rice case where Rice was initially given a two-game suspension, and then a video came out showing him knocking his girlfriend out in an elevator, and essentially he hasn't played in the league since. So I think that what the league will do is fairly limited. I think that where that leaves us is a decision as fans on whether we're going to watch.
Well, and clearly there seems to be, in spite of, some of the uglier aspects of football that the movie Concussion, among other things, has brought out and the other incidents that you've mentioned, there is clear evidence that this is a game that can be very harmful to the people that play it. Not everyone, but a disturbing percentage of those who have played, particularly at the professional level. And yet the message doesn't seem to be as interesting as the collateral damage that is as it is happening on the field. And I say that because this game drew some 27 million people to their television sets at the height of the telecast between 10 and 11 p.m. The movie Concussion, people said, yeah, that's serious. It's concerning. And yet you look at the box office receipts and it doesn't seem to be doing as well as it did when it first came out. It seems to have kind of fallen off of people's radar, and we're back to watching the gladiators in the arena again.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I mean, Concussion came out, and in its first week, it was basically billed a bomb. It lost at the box office to Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas movie. The situation, I think, now is that we are in a position where the news on concussions, the basic idea that repeated blows to the head are going to cause long-term damage in a significant number of cases, is out. And people have to make their own decisions on whether that's something that they can live with or something they don't want to support or participate in. And Peter King from Sports Illustrated has an interesting column in his MMQB website in which he writes an open letter to the players, basically saying that it's up to them to some degree to police themselves. And I think that point is well taken. I think that having said what we said earlier in the conversation, that the league won't really take action unless it's forced to, and it has taken some steps. I'm acknowledging that. I think the next thing becomes players themselves need to look out for each other without the kind of violence you saw on Saturday night with Berfick's hit on Antonio Brown with a deliberate sort of jabbing Roethlisberger when he's already on the ground and he has a shoulder injury, that kind of thing. I think that the big message is that everyone has to take some responsibility if the game is going to get cleaned up. Otherwise, it just becomes that was an ugly one, and, you know, we move on to the, you know, divisional playoffs this week.
You know, everybody's, in hindsight, is looking at the ugliness of this game, of which it's undeniable that there was a considerable amount of it, and we'll get to which team was more responsible for it than you know, the other. But as far as, you know, what happened, I mean, the ratings were high. People in Pittsburgh were talking about what a great game it was. If you take everything out of the game, if you take away from that spectacle, that bloodlust, is it still going to have the appeal? Is that where the NFL is coming from on this, even though they won't come right out and say it?
Well, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I think it's just a reality, and I say this as a football fan, that the physicality of the game is part of the appeal. You know, you like to see people do amazing things. There are moments when the big hit is attractive. But I think that there's a difference between physicality and just outright cheap shotting. You know, I saw an interesting video recently that came out of the Seattle Seahawks, actually, on a form of tackling called rugby tackling. It's basically making the argument that the way that they tackle in the sport of rugby, where they don't wear pads, but it's also very, you know, it's a very physical sport, needs to be adopted more widely in American football, rather than just like aiming yourself as a missile at another player. Try to wrap, you know, try to wrap and twist, and the other player will go down, you know. So there are some ways to mitigate it. Ultimately, it's going to be a physical sport.
We're talking with John Affleck, who is the Knight Chair in Sports Journalism and Society and the director of the John Curley Center for Sports Journalism at Penn State, about the discussions happening in the aftermath of the Steelers-Bengals game, which was a thrilling game to watch, and one that, based on the outcome, people in Pittsburgh are happy about. It has been rated by people like Ed Bouchette, the esteemed Hall of Fame sports writer of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, as one of the 10 greatest games in Steelers history. But at the same time, there was quite a bit of concern over how some of these incidents manifested themselves, and really it was bad behavior on the part of the Bengals, which led to the Steelers' victory, penalties that put the Steelers in position to win the game with a field goal. Vontaze Burfict, we've mentioned what he did. Clearly the NFL believes there was no excuse for it and has penalized him with a 3-game suspension, which will start next season since Cincinnati's been eliminated from the playoffs. We here in Pittsburgh, from our perspective, the Steelers are our guys. We love them. We root for them. So we were probably predisposed to not seeing their transgressions in the same way that we might see what the Bengals did. But one of the things that Peter King points out in the article you mentioned, John, is Ryan Shazier ramming Cincinnati running back Gio Bernard with the crown of his helmet, something that year after year players have been trained and warned not to do, and yet he did this and was not penalized for it. So is it easier for us in Pittsburgh to see the bad behavior on the Bengals and maybe ignore what our own guys might be doing?
I'm sure that's true in any NFL city, that you're going to focus on the things that that were done to you rather than what you did. Peter King's right, and I think the larger issue that brings up is consistency of officiating. The game's fast, and those penalties aren't the kind you can review. And, you know, when it happens in the moment and it just happens to the player, it's just a momentary judgment call on the part of the officials. And as much as I sort of hate to say this as a fan, I think you have to tell the officials that those kinds of things have to be called consistently, and it's a point of emphasis, and it's something that's got to happen. So
what you're what you're saying is then, and tell me if I'm interpreting the rule correctly, but they say that the receiver Antonio Brown in this case for the Steelers, being laid out by Vontaze Burfict, that the receiver going for the ball is defenseless, but that the running back who was on the other end of Ryan Shazier's hit is not defenseless because he's carrying the ball, and should that rule be changed?
Right, that is what the rule says, and I think it's something that the league is going to have to look at. Basically, it's a situation where they have to make a decision on how quickly somebody can sort of form intent. I know how legalistic that sounds, but you have a split second to decide whether you're going to tuck or whether you're going to aim your head at somebody else. And I think they have to decide how closely they want to penalize that. And I think, given all that's happened, they probably want to err on the side of penalizing more than less.
We're getting down to just a minute or so. A couple questions I wanted to make sure I put before you, John. One of the things that Peter King says, more games like this and Congress will get involved. Do you see that happening?
No, not really. I just don't. I don't see getting involved unless it's going to have to happen on an even bigger stage. I mean, it would have to happen on a Super Bowl level stage. And I smell politics. You know, if it's advantageous to people, they'll get involved. If not, they won't.
The other point that among many that Peter King makes is that parents of children watching that game Saturday night, if they didn't think this before the game, they would think after watching it that I do not want my kids playing football. How many people do you think will come away with feeling that way?
I think it's a drip, drip, drip. I think that game is the kind of game that contributes to that decision. I have a lot of friends who are not in favor of allowing their children to play football these days, and I think that's going to be a really interesting thread to follow in the months and years to come, is youth participation in football based on this kind of thing.
And will there be enough people left to play football based on the way things are going, I guess, is another question that will be.
That's it. That's exactly it.
John Affleck is Knight Chair in Sports Journalism and Society and the director of the John Curley Center for Sports Journalism at Penn State. John, as always, talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Tomorrow on the program, Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto joins us for the first time in 2016. We'll be discussing a lot of issues and taking your calls. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Stay warm, and so long for now.